If you have your Bibles, thank you, Helen, and wow, what an amazing insight into Peru. We continue to pray for the great need and the work of the gospel all around the world, but particularly today we think of Armand and Peru and the importance of God's grace over that beautiful country. We start today by looking at Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this morning, this precious word, as we come to consider the theme today, the theme of majesty and the majesty of God. Just want to share something that happened this morning that I think is quite amazing, quite significant. Often before I'm due to share a message, and as I prepare to come down to the church, before the sound of the cars and the bustle of a Sunday morning begin in the area amongst the neighbors, I like to get down to a quiet place where I can just quietly reflect on the message that I've been praying about, preparing, and just going through it in my mind and my heart. And this morning, as I was doing that, I was considering this thought of the majesty of God and looking again at the majesty of God's glory, which I'd been preparing through the week. And as I was thinking about that, I was looking at the thought of the majesty of God reflected in creation, the majesty of God reflected in redemption. And then I came to the thought of the majesty of God reflected in eternity. And the thought and the passage came to mind of Revelation where God wipes away our tears and the tears and healing, brokenness is healed, and the new Jerusalem comes down and dwells amongst God's people. An amazing passage. And as I thought about that passage, I sort of brushed it away. I thought, Lord, that's too big a passage to even think about at this late stage. It's a passage we'll come back to. Maybe look at it another time. And I just put it aside. And it was significant, but I moved it to the side. And I thought, let's focus on the passage in Isaiah. And by God's grace, let's bring the word of God, by God's grace, to us alive. And hopefully with some transforming power and significance, as I pray for every time we come to the services. And then I go in the morning after I've prepared and I pray and I walk out the house. I say goodbye to Judy. We pray together and I walk out. And Judy's usually helping online these days and is praying for the service from there. And as I drive, I go to Bob because I pick up Bob on a Sunday. He comes down to help with the church. And it's a great way to start the morning. And I go and I pick up Bob, and when I got to Bob, it was 9:10. And as I parked the car, I heard my phone go. Just a message had come through. So while I was waiting for Bob, I got this message from Johan, who comes once in a while when he's in London. And he said, "Greetings in Jesus' name." And he often sends scripture during the week, a bit of scripture. But at 9:10, never on a Sunday usually before the service, but 9:10 this morning, this is the scripture that he sent. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these things, these words are true and faithful. Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" Amen. And when I cut that, I thought, okay, Lord, I don't know what to do with this right now, except I'm going to read this at the beginning of the message. Because when you're thinking about a passage and you try and sweep it away and it comes back to you on the way to the service, then you've got to say that there's something there that is significant. And today we're talking about looking at the majesty of the God of our salvation. You know, there's a beautiful chorus that we sometimes sing. Do you remember? It goes like this: "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart." Repeats, it says, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you." Open the eyes, I would say again, as a church, of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart, as we prayed in the prayer this morning, for the church to be a sensitive church, a caring church, an encouraging church, an uplifting church, a church reflecting the glory of God. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We need to see you. We need to see you. To see you, Lord, high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out the power of your love as we sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Lord, we need to see you. The greatest need we have, I think, going forward as our church, in our community, in this day, in this generation, is that we need a new, clear, powerful vision of our risen God. We need to see Jesus afresh. We need to see the Lord, the majesty of God, as it is reflected in the pages of the Holy Scriptures. We need to see our God as he is revealed in his glory in the pages of God's Word. We need to see Jesus. We need the Lord to open the eyes of our heart collectively as a church, that we may see him high and lifted up. You see, that when we see Jesus again, fresh, a new vision of our Lord, then everything else comes into place. The majesty of God, the majesty of God's power will transform us, will renew us, will change us into a new motivated church for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, like never before. It is when we see Jesus, when we look at Jesus, when we actually touch the hem of his garments, that we will be gripped and transformed and changed to serve God. We see in the Bible and in the pages of Scripture that the revelation of God's power and majesty is revealed right through the pages, right through creation. The Bible tells us that all heaven declares the majesty of our risen God. The firmament praises the name of our Lord. Isaiah tells us that just as a curtain is drawn across the expanse of space, God has drawn a curtain and flung the stars into being. And in the universe and in the galaxies, where every star is shining, where every planet is rotating, we know this, the prophet says, that not one of them is missing, and he, in his glory, knows them by name. The glory of our risen God is reflected in the majesty of God and in the creation of God. We hear that it is the mighty roar of the waters that are like the sound of our God's voice. If you want to hear a little bit of what it's like to hear the voice of God reflected in the scriptures of God, so that the very doorposts of the church are shaken and our hearts are transformed, it is when we listen to the mighty roar of the ocean crashing against the rocks, or the mighty roar of a mighty river falling down over a waterfall. That is what the voice of God sounds like, the Bible tells us. The majesty of God in creation is revealed through creation, and we can begin to see and look and appreciate his glory and his majesty, the Bible tells us, in creation. But not only in creation, we see it in redemption. We see the majesty and glory of God. Oh, how amazing the grace of God, that the Creator would come down and die for the created on a wooden cross in a cruel Roman death, and take upon himself the sin and the brokenness of man and the world's pain on his shoulders. The majesty and the grace and the power of a God who will die for his own creation is where we begin to see the majesty and glory of our God. What amazing grace! How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, that the God of creation would come down and die in my place. The majesty of the redemption of the cross. We see the majesty of God reflected through the pages of Scripture and in the glory and the holiness of him as we see heaven come down to earth. We sing that song when we sing about God coming to live amongst men, that heaven came down and glory shone around. At Christmas, we talk about the angel coming down in the glory of God reflected amongst the people and the reflection of God's glory as Christ was born among men. And we see there something of the glory of our God, the majesty of our God, the power of our God. But then again, we see in eternity the great glorious truth that one day God will come and live amongst his people, that there will be a great heavenly city called Jerusalem, called the Bride of Christ, that will descend and will be with us. And in that spiritual Jerusalem, there will be a river of life, an eternal river, not like today's Jerusalem, where there are underground rivers and where there are some streams and springs. This will be a great and glorious river running right through the heavenly Jerusalem, the river of life, the river of God's grace, the river of the Holy Spirit himself. And we cannot look at that story, we cannot look at that vision and not be transformed and not be challenged and be changed and gripped. And so the heavenly Jerusalem will come down, and God himself will live with his people. And there will be no more tears in that day. There will be no more pain and brokenness and sadness, because Christ will be living and dwelling with his people forevermore. What a glorious vision of God's grace. And so it brings us today to this amazing passage that we've been reading, because Isaiah was in need of reformation in his heart. Isaiah was like you and me, coming out of a time of struggle, of difficulty, of brokenness, of heartache. For Isaiah, his friend, his personal friend, and a great king of Judah, of southern Israel, had died. And the whole of the nation was in mourning, was in grief, was in a kind of prison of brokenness and sadness. And in the middle of that situation, in the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah was an amazing king. He reigned for 52 years in Israel. He started out with his father for 16 years as a young man. He shared the throne and learned how to be a good king. And he was a good king. He led Israel and Judah in the right direction towards God. But he had one mistake, one flaw. He became so proud that he went into the temple one day. And all the priests, because they loved Uzziah, they knew what a good king he was, pleaded with him because he wanted to take the incense himself into the Holy of Holies. And they said, you can't do that. Only the priests can do that. To do that is to go against God's holy law. Don't do it. They pleaded with him. But he said, no, I want to do the incense. And he walked in and he was struck with leprosy. And after 52 years, he died. This great king who made this mistake at the end of his life. So lesson in that we should never take for granted God's law, God's leading, God's holy law. We should not make that mistake ourselves, but always seek to honor God to the very last day of our lives, to obey God and to follow his teaching. But the king made a mistake and he was struck with leprosy and he died. And so what happened was there was mourning, there was a brokenness amongst the people, and Isaiah was struggling. And Isaiah, on that day, walked into church. And I want to say to all of us that one of the best things we can do, one of the greatest things we can do when life is crowding in on us, when we are feeling a bit overwhelmed by situations, when we are feeling lonely or in agony or broken, or we're just struggling, or we just need something to take us and to revive us and to refresh us, the best thing we can do in a situation like that is to walk into church, to worship the Lord with a heart seeking God's voice, seeking God's word, seeking to look into the very face of Christ himself and to come into worship. And when we gather in the worship together, what precious worship this morning, that worship will look us and help us to look up to the face of our Lord and our Savior. And that's exactly what happened with Isaiah. He walked into church, and there he became part of a heavenly worship service. An amazing service of worship, the presence of God in the temple, so that the train of his robe filled the temple. The doors shook when God spoke, and there was a incense of smoke filling the temple. And in that glorious place of worship, he heard the praise to God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. The eternalness of God is seen when we walk into a worship service and worship him. And that happens when we come to church. Time and time again, it's the worship that helps us look up towards God and to see our God. And that's exactly what Isaiah did. He looked up to the face of God. My, what an encouragement that was. And when we look up in worship and see our Lord, we will be changed. We will be transformed. We will be motivated like never before. We will be revived. Something will challenge us and change us and refresh us and wash us and lead us into a place where we We are saying, Lord, send me in. I want to worship you. I want to serve you. I want to get excited again. I want to be enthused again. I want to volunteer again. I want to get involved again. And I want to love you, Lord, like never before. Look up into the very face of God. But something happened as he looked up, as he saw the holiness of God, saw God, saw him. Remember, the greatest need we have in our church today is to see Jesus revealed in the Word of God, revealed in the glory of creation, revealed in the wondrous truth and story of the gospel of Christ who died and rose again. When we see that glory, we will be changed. We will be transformed. But something else happened. He suddenly looked in. Because when you see Christ, the light of Christ's glory shines right through. It shines right through the masks. We talked about the masks, and we need the masks. Sure, we do. To stop these germs. But there's a spiritual mask that we put on. And the light shines right through that mask. There's no pretending with God. There is no place to go and hide with God when the light of God shines deep into our heart and into our soul. For in the light of God's glory, we see ourselves for who we are. And it is at that point that we come and we realize that God, oh Lord, I need you. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And Isaiah comes to a place of repentance before God. And it is that place that we need to come. We need to go back and again say, Lord, on our knees, in tears by God's grace. Not put on tears, not crocodile tears, in real sense, we need to repent before God and say, God, I need to change the way I live for you. I need to change my focus for you. I need you to take a grip of my life. Forgive me, Lord, for lukewarmness. Forgive me for not speaking out more strongly when I see all kinds of error and confusion in the streets. Forgive me for not reaching out more to those who are dying. Forgive me, Lord, for where I have let you down. We need to come to that place that Isaiah came to in the presence of God, and we need to cry out, I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. So you see, when we come to that place, that's when God meets us. That's when the realness of Christ meets us. Anything else is all lip service. Anything else is all just taking one step in front of another robotically. But when we come to that place of repentance and openness and realism with our Lord and allow His glory to shine on our heart, to reveal our need, it is at that place that we will be changed, that we will be reformed, that we will be restored, that we will be revived. It is only at that place. There is no other place that we can go but there, the foot of the cross. And so, God meets his prophet. And then, in the distance, a third thing happens. He looks up. He looks in, and then he looks beyond, because beyond the smoke, beyond the haze, beyond even the glory, he sees the altar with coals of holiness burning, with the fire of heaven itself, and he sees this amazing seraphim come. There's something about these coals, because the seraphim doesn't pick it up with his hands. He picks it up with the tongue. And he brings this holy coal of fire And he places it on the lips of his prophets. And at that moment, you see an amazing, real picture of healing, of transformation, of forgiveness. You see the communion of God at that moment as the coal touches his lips from the altar. So the blood of Christ touches our hearts. So the bread, which is the body broken, feeds our soul. And we too, at the communion table, are touched by this holy coal of God's grace and fire, and our sin is forgiven at the foot of the cross. And it is there at the foot of the cross that the prophet looks beyond. He looks up. His lips don't burn, but his heart is cleansed. His lips do not burn, but his heart is cleansed. And today we all need to ask Christ to cleanse us with the holy fire from the altar of God itself and himself. And then something else happens. He looks up, looks in, looks through. And now he hears the word of God. Now he hears the voice of God. Now God speaks to him. He hadn't heard the voice of God before in the worship. He had seen God. He hadn't heard the voice of God speaking directly to him in his repentance yet. He was calling for help and crying out for his situation. He hadn't heard the voice of God as the coal touched his lips. But now, forgiven, restored, revived, refreshed, he hears the word of God. And if we want to hear the word of God, we've got to repent. We've got to allow the word of God to transform us and change us, and the Spirit of God to revive us and refresh us. We have to receive the word of God. But we can only do that when we've repented before God. So he looks up, sees God. Forces him to look in and see himself. Cries out for forgiveness. He looks beyond and he sees, as it were, the cross coming to him in the form of a holy burning coal, touching him and healing him. And then he hears the word of God. And it's a great word. It's a challenging word. It's the word that says, who is going to go for us? And who will take this message of salvation and hope and transformation and glory and power? Who will do this for us when we look at the world and the confusion and the brokenness and the hurt and the pain? Who will go for us? Who will go for me, says God. Isaiah puts up his hand and he says, Lord, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. See you high and lifted up, filled with the beautiful, glorious confidence and hope of Christ. Open my eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Let us say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Here in London, here I am. Here in my school, here I am. Here I am in my workplace, here I am. Send me. Amen. May God send us, restore us, refresh us. May God send us to serve Him. Come, let us stand as we sing our final hymn. And I'm going to ask as we sing this hymn that you think about what it is that you can do to come and seek God afresh. Because the time is coming very soon when all of us are going to be called to serve Him in a way that we have never served Him before. It's a time for revival in us, and it starts with me. Come, let us sing, King of Kings, Majesty.